Some of you may remember, or maybe you have heard somewhere else, an old story of some monks who were facing bitter persecution from the government. It is a story that repeats itself throughout human history of Christians, of monastics, of monks and nuns and churches being persecuted for their faith. Some of the monks simply left the monastery because they could not endure the excruciating suffering. And there were no new monks, novices, to take their place. Only five elderly monks remained in the monastery, and the monastery itself had become old and broken down. One day, a traveling rabbi visited the monks, and at the end of the visit, the abbot, who is the head of the monastery, asked if the rabbi had any advice for the monks. The rabbi's reply was this: "The only message I have for you is that the Messiah is one of you." For many days, the monks pondered over this prophetic message and wondered if there was any truth whatsoever in what the rabbi had said. Could the Messiah really be one of them? One of them asked, could the Messiah be the abbot who had led them for so many years? Could the Messiah be Brother Eldred? He couldn't be because he is cranky and eccentric. Sound like anybody you all know? However, he could be because he had a great capacity for saying and doing what was right. Could the Messiah be Brother Philip? No, he could not be because Brother Philip was so passive and laid back. Nevertheless, he had the wonderful virtues of kindness, selflessness, and charity to all. Remind you all of anybody? Could the Messiah be ordinary me? That is hardly possible. The message of the rabbi made the monks begin treating each other with the utmost respect and tender love, conscious that any one of them could be the Messiah. They began to see the Messiah in each other. Jesus taught us how to see God in each and every person. And he tells us that we cannot love God enough if we fail to see his image in other people. Jesus summarized the whole Jewish law into the love of God and the love of neighbor. He wanted his listeners to understand that it is not possible to love God sincerely without loving the people whom God has made in his own image and his own likeness. St. John makes this clear when he says in his first letter, "Whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." The dual commandments of love which Jesus gave are taken from the Old Testament. The first part about the love of God was taken from the famous Old Testament scripture that we heard this morning called the Shema. And it's simply called the Shema because that's the first word. Shema, Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Akav. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The Shema emphasizes the unity of God and the obligation to love the one God. The second part about love of neighbor was taken from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is remarkable about these twin rules is no rabbi in the past had synthesized these two passages as Jesus did. The old concept of religion relegated the love of neighbor to the background. But Jesus made the love of neighbor inseparable from the love of God. In fact, the life of Jesus is the embodiment of the love of God and the love of neighbor. He indeed is the perfect model of what he preached on love. God was all and in all in the life of Jesus. And he demonstrated tender love to the people to whom he ministered. No wonder in the second reading for today, the letter to the Hebrews extols Jesus and explains why he stands higher and above all the holy men that preceded him. The quality of the life of Jesus and his teaching and his total self-offering is love. In that love, it sets him apart and higher than all the old Levitical priests of the Old Testament. What makes the instruction of Jesus about love so unique is that he asks his followers not to discriminate against anyone, irrespective of religion, race, tribe, gang, or social class. No one should be considered as a second-class human person because he or she is of another religion or because he or he speaks a different language. No true religion should promote any form of discrimination. One more time, in case there were a couple who were dozing. No true religion should promote any form of discrimination. Piety, or the love of God, is empty when it cannot be demonstrated in the love of others who are different and whose way of life appears just a little bit strange. Jesus teaches us that our love of God is incomplete unless we love everyone and respect everyone, because each and every one is made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Especially during the prayers of the faithful, but really throughout this Mass, indeed, each and every day, let us pray for the restoration of peace in the world. where religion has been used as an instrument of discrimination and domination. We remember all who have lost their lives, their loved ones, and their property, and their freedom, simply because they chose to live another way. We hope and pray that historical grudges may one day be resolved, that justice may prevail, and that love will overshadow narrow and deadly sentiments of human hatred. So in closing, I would suggest, remember the Messiah may be just your next door neighbor. Amen.